Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Nirala Master Meeting on the 13th of August 2012. On the call today we have Darlene Thompson, Alain Skew, Olivier Crépin-Neblon, Gordon Tilthoff, Annalisa Roger, Jolie McPhee, Glenn McKnight, Gareth Sherman, Carter Bruin, Seth Reese, and Eduardo Diaz. We have an apology from Alan Greenberg. From staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Gregory Vanko, Matashkiani, and myself, Matthew Perlin. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Darlene.
Hey, did we miss anybody on the roll call? Excellent. Okay, item number two is review of action items from our last call. The only action item from our last call was to coordinate a get together a Toronto Organizing Committee, which we have done. Garth Bruin is the chair of it, and other members are Glenn McKnight, Eduardo Diaz, Evan Leibovich, and Gordon Tilcutt, and myself. So that has been done, and we've been on a weekly basis in order to move that forward. There will be a more detailed report later on about this. Item number three is the policy statement update. Is Evan on the call yet? Silly me, I should not have put that at the very beginning of the agenda. We'll come back to that one. Number four, policy advice development page. I encourage everybody to have your agenda up in front of you so that you can see these points. There are also a lot of links that we'll be looking at, so it would be good if you did have that agenda in front of you with the link. We have a list under A of recently approved ALAC statements, documents, or groups. Item B is statements currently being voted on or reviewed by the ALAC. And item C, current open policy forums. Does anybody wish to make any comments or statements about any of these? Okay, I don't see any hands in the Adobe room. We have number five, new GTLD program update. Annalisa Roger did an excellent blog about this, and I was just wanting to give Annalisa a few minutes to talk about what she wrote about in her blog. Annalisa, over to you. Annalisa, are you muted?
Hi, Darlene. This is Heidi. Annalisa is on the Adobe Connect. So, and I don't even see her on the Adobe Connect now. Oh, no, there she is. I do see her. Okay. Natalie, could I ask you to work with Annalisa to get her off mute, please?
Annalisa, sure, I will do now.
Annalisa, can you hear us? Okay. So, Natalie, you're the AC expert. If you could just help her how to get off of mute, please.
Sure, we'll do so now.
And also, Darlene, this is Heidi. Evan is on his way in at the moment.
Sure. All right, well, let's loop back around to number five after number six. So we don't waste a lot of time here. Number six is review of the Toronto events planning. Garth, I'll kick this over to you since you're our chair in that group.
Oh, thank you. We're having some great movement with the participation. Glenn has put out a sign-up sheet for running the tabletop in the ICANN Village, and maybe he can discuss that specifically later. We've also, thanks to Darlene, we've actually managed to enlist a whole bunch of Neuralo ALSs in attending the meeting and participating in our various events, and we're pretty happy to have that level of participation. The last meeting last week, we confirmed, I think, some of the catering and the entertainment and the flow of General Assembly and some other. If there's any specific questions or anything anybody's concerned about, please let me know. And we're going to have another meeting on Wednesday to discuss more. Thanks.
Excellent. Glenn, did you want to add anything in regards to the wine and cheese and the tabletop scheduling and all the great stuff you've been doing with getting people to donate to this event?
Yes, Darlene. Hi, everybody. It's Glenn here. A couple of things. One is it looks like I have my confirmation, and I'm waiting for a more definitive email from our entertainers, which is the Métis Council, and so that looks good. We have our room, we have our catering. It's not cheap, but that's the way it goes when you're entertaining people. But yeah, so I think it's going along fairly smoothly. And as Garth mentioned earlier about the doodle, I guess it's Darlene. I guess I have permission now to send out an email to all those participating ALSs to sign up for the doodle, I guess.
Absolutely. I'll put that down as an action item for myself today. I'll make sure you have the list of the ALSs that are coming as well as their contact information.
Beautiful. Now, on the signage and info, the Google person, Sarah, was away last week, but we do have the logo from Sarah. Sarah sent it right away, Judy Lapine, and I mentioned to them that we'd like to have Byron Holland as the speaker at the event, and I've asked also for Phileas with Desiree. So I think they should all have prepared their checks and sent them on to ICANN Financial, so hopefully they've done that already.
Excellent. Thank you, Glenn. Okay, number travel planning and General Assembly. Basically, all we did for the General Assembly is we took all of the fantastic things that that the group told us that we wanted to talk about, which made up an excellent, I think, two-hour spot. I think it'll be just perfect for filling that two-hour spot. So last time I sent out an email saying, okay, here's what we've got. Are there any more suggestions? There were no more suggestions, so we just used that list, and that's what we'll be discussing for the General Assembly. So I think that will be very productive. Then, of course, we will also be having the four capacity building sessions from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. every morning. And half of that, we will likely be partnering with the fellows because they get different speakers in to tell them, you know, what do the different SOs and ACs do, as well as different ICANN areas and such like that. So we'll have 1 hour of that plus another hour where we can discuss our own regional concerns. You know, and I will be putting out an email saying, okay, here's what we've already got. What would we like to add to that? But that won't be coming for another few weeks because we have to find out, first of all, what the fellows will be discussing so that we're not duplicating efforts. On the travel planning end of things, of the ALSs that weren't already going to be there because of holding a position like ALAC chair, secretariat, that sort of thing, we got 12 ALSs that agreed to come. So that's 12, and then we've already got like Evan, myself, Eduardo, and Glenn that's going to be there. Am I missing anybody else? So that's 16 of our ALSs. That's very good representation in my mind. So I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody there. Are there any questions or comments on that? Okay, moving on to number C, post-meeting trip to Niagara. Evan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go for it.
Okay, well, essentially, the issues that are up and on the go right now are actually listed in the agenda on the Adobe Connect. I can give a little bit of an overview of some of them. There's some that that are sort of near and dear to me. Essentially, there's a couple of votes going on right now, specifically about public comments on the SAC 54, which is a statement of the security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS review team that's been adopted. I abstained from that mainly because it was like a thank you message, and I didn't think that the ALAC needed to vote on thank you message. Other than that, There's some issues going on about SAC 54, which is the domain name registration data model. I'm not heavily participating in that. I am working with Garth on issues together related to ICANN compliance issues, which continue to be a thorny issue, and which I think are actually going to, I think they actually have to start being bumped up the chain into becoming an ALAC priority issue, because if ICANN cannot sustain public trust in how it works with its existing TLDs, I don't see how it's going to be able to engender that trust with the expansion program. Anyway, on statement endorsing the IPC statement on .com renewal and thick who is, that's simply dealing with our long-time endorsement of having a thick who is, and essentially joining comments with the IPC in that realm. There's a vote closing soon on the strategic plan. Essentially, what I'd like to do is just open the floor if there's questions on any of the open agenda items that anybody sees on the Adobe Connect. Rather than me sort of give my own priorities, I just assume take questions. I know Olivia is on the call. Eduardo's on the call. So maybe if we can take questions from anybody within the region on these items, now's the time.
Actually, now isn't the time. We're on item number 6, which is travel planning for Toronto. Evan, I was going to loop back up to number 3 after we were with this, and
sorry.
I would have given you a chance to talk on that now, these things that you relate to the meeting. But now that you're on to it, if anybody wishes to comment, please go.
Olivia's got his hand up. Darlene, Olivia has his hand up.
I just said, Olivia, please go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Darlene, I didn't hear you. I heard Evan saying I had my hand up, but I didn't hear you. I was just going to...
Yes, well, I think he doubled up on me. Thanks, Evan.
Okay. I was just going to say on SAC 054, the domain name registration data model, and Evan mentioned that he had refrained from voting on that, where he had abstained. It's actually the DNS review team SSRRT final report. But I guess we all know what Evan meant from this. The SAC 54 domain name registration data model is quite a technical thing. I know that there are some people in the realm that are very well versed, technically speaking. So certainly comments and thoughts about this report, which isn't that large a report, but comments are very much welcome to have a very good answer on this one. And we are going to have a meeting with the SAC in Toronto, but it will be a short one. So it will be good to have some comments now, and then we can discuss this in Toronto. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Does anybody else have a comment? All right, going back to what we were supposed to be discussing, which is the Toronto events planning. Staff, do you have anything to say about the promotional items and such?
Hi, Darlene. Thank you for that. This is Heidi. Yes. Some of the promotional items that are being developed include a pin, a lapel pin for the RALO 5-year anniversary that's being developed, and a draft should be the draft design should be shown to the NORALO or Toronto Organizing Committee tomorrow. There's also going to be a banner, a NORALO portable banner that you see often at trade shows for both the NORALO outreach events on Monday evening, as well as the booth that is going to be used in the area where all of the sponsors are for outreach activities. And also a half-page ad or text in the meeting guide promoting the RALO event. So building that to extent.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. Anybody else have any questions or comments about item number 6 at all, the Toronto events planning? All right, then. We're going to loop back up to item number five, the new GTLD program. As I mentioned before, Annalisa Roger has done an excellent blog on this. And Annalisa, I just wanted to give you a few minutes to maybe review a few of your points in the blog as you wish.
Well, thank you, Darlene. Can you hear me okay on this new audio? I'm on the phone now. Does this work?
You're perfect. Perfect.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, the new GTLD program is accepting public comments. So I guess one update I would do just about ICANN is that they did change their date from August 12th, which was the close. They've now lengthened it to September 26th. So it gives the public more time to comment on any of the applications that are in on the ICANN comment website. The blog that Darlene is mentioning, and I think you have a link for it, that's my view of the ecosystem that we're all a part of, and the success of the new GTLD program I was trying to map out is that that affects everybody in and around the internet, and especially around the ICANN community. So one thing that's really important for both ICANN and the new GTLD program is public interest. And forwarding public interest would really speak to the success of both everything that ICANN does in all of its work, but also specifically for the new GTLD program. So if you guys wanted to read that blog, interestingly, in the case of .green, which is a very public benefit-focused type of string, interestingly, we are the only North American applicant for the .green string. So it seems appropriate to sort of point that out to Nirallo and draw your attention to that fact. And I invite everybody to learn a little bit more about .green and see if maybe they want to make a comment. And I guess that's it. The blog sort of speaks for itself. We're really excited about the potential for .green, and we see that it affects everybody, not just obviously North America, but it's a global project. But thank you for giving me some time in the Nirallo meeting here. Does anybody have any questions? I'd be really happy to answer any questions.
Well, yeah, and thank you, Annalisa, because the reason why I did bring this up is because that's actually a point in our General Assembly that we'll be discussing in Toronto is the post-New GTLD ecosystem. So it is something that I would like people to start thinking of. Evan, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Darlene. I simply wanted to, for those people that haven't seen them, perhaps give a small synopsis of the comments that have been received to date in the public commentary on the GTLD program. The vast bulk of them have been people that have been complaining about the three adult, .adult, .xxx, no, .xxx is already there, .porn, .sex, and .adult, again, all being done by ICM. I'd say it's fair to say they've been getting the bulk of the complaints, usually people complaining against all three at once. There is an interesting little brouhaha brewing over the request for .catalonia, which is a region, I believe, in Chile and Argentina, that some objectors are saying that this is a geographic TLD and shouldn't be considered as a regular one. There's a lot of support in for a couple of ones. Clearly, the folks behind .music have been beating the drums and getting a lot of people out there. And I believe there was one unfortunate comment from, I believe, the Saudi government on .gay. But outside of that, I'd say, outside of those particular issues, I think those actually, the adult ones and the Catagonia ones, are taking up, I'd say, the vast bulk of the public comment area.
Yeah, no, Evan is right, and that's interesting. There's also other type of comment that is focused a lot on trademark concerns and disputes, and they tend to be sort of a cut-and-paste comment that just goes blanketed over hundreds of the TLD applications. Interestingly, our project has been passed over by most of those blanket spamming type comments. So I find that interesting, and it kind of tells me that actually maybe even those spamming comments, maybe they are actually spending the time and reading through these applications. I know we've done a lot of work to make sure that we are a very collaborative type of entity, and we want to collaborate with corporates as well as government and every entity, because we represent the green movement, and that's what people in the green movement do. So we really come from the green side of things in policy as well as internet side. Maybe that's why they've passed over us in general, but Evan's right. There's been kind of a repeat, but people are welcome to comment on, you know, positive comments. And if you look at .green, we've been fortunate to receive positive comments from almost all the regions of the world. So, hopefully that's going to make a difference. There is a category you're supposed to pick if you put in a comment. If you put in other, my understanding is the evaluators and the GAC will not read comments that are posted under other categories. So if you do take the time to make a comment on any of the new GCLD applications, please choose a different category, but not the other category. That's kind of an interesting.
I have another comment, but I'll move it to the bottom of the queue because it's unrelated.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to do that. Thank you, Evan. Eduardo, you had your hand up. Did you still want to say anything? I noticed you put it down.
Yes, I don't know how it went down. But anyhow, this is a question for Annalisa. I noticed in the list that for .green, there are more than one company bidding for it. And I'm wondering if you can comment on that and, you know, what are your expectations on winning? Because I believe the next step after all this is to go to a bid, right?
Yes, I'm not sure I heard your entire comment, but there are four applicants for .green. Three of them are from large portfolio applicants within the industry. They're actually all registry operators themselves. We are the only North American applicant. The others are incorporated in other regions of the world. And we're the only applicant that comes from the green movement, and we have a focus on the green movement and the green community. One of the reasons we're able to do that is because we're from the green community, but also we have subcontracted the technical operations to NuStar, also a North American company, because they have the expertise in the technical operations. We have the expertise in the green movement. So we believe our application reflects this as a very strong solution for the .green PLD.
And I'd
like to add too, we've also built a public charity foundation, and so that we're in partnership with, and EarthShare, which is a nonprofit federation in North America. Most of the largest environmental organizations of the world are members of EarthShare, and they collaborate and work with corporate in employee payroll deductions. So they have a history and a long time history working with corporate and government in the green space. So there's a lot of knowledge and collaboration there. And all four of us, .green, EarthShare, NuStar, the .green Foundation, we are all green companies with sustainability initiative within our company. So we're all working towards green at the same time. So we're really trying to walk the walk.
And Annalisa, the last question is, is that part of your business model to restrict second-level domains, or anyone will be able to apply for second-level domains to .green?
So that's an excellent question, Eduardo. Thank you. The word restriction, which is really commonly used, like Eduardo did in the TLD world, is a word that doesn't resonate well in the green movement, because in the green movement there are no restrictions as to who can participate. You know, who is allowed to recycle, who is allowed to improve their lifestyle. There's no restriction, and there's no leader that prevents or judges people on whether or not they can participate. So in that sense, the way that translates to .green is that, no, we are all inclusive. There are no restrictions to who is allowed to join. and to participate. And that's one of the reasons we were unable to use the ICANN community definition. The ICANN community application definition was extremely restrictive. And the Green Movement is not that. So no, we don't have restrictions. However, what we do have is we have a charter and an understanding of what green means and of what dot green means. And so everybody who buys a dot green name is going to make a clear acknowledgement, like through the checking of a box, that they read what the definition of green is in the world, and they read the definition of what dot green stands for. And as long as they agree that that is the use of what they're trying to do, they can buy a dot green name. Now the rest is up to the Green Movement and the people of the world to see what they post on their green website. And trust me, if they're posting things that are not green, the public is going to have the tools and the ability, because that's what the Internet is all about, to call them out, so to speak. So our role as the manager is that we're going to be educating both the registrant and the users as to what the Green Movement means. And we're going to do this in a very positive and collaborative, forward-thinking way, not a punitive way. However, if somebody is completely egregious and shows harm to humanity or something really against the green meaning, we do reserve the right to take down. So that is in our application.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, next on the speaking queue is Glenn McKnight. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Glenn McKnight for the record. I had a chance to look at the dot green applications, and what was very striking with Annalisa's application is that she comes not only with passion and a knowledge of the green community, but she's reached out to organizations and worked with organizations like First Share. She's unique because she has, being ISOC San Francisco and Morello member, she has an understanding of our community, but she has a deep understanding and passion for the green community. So I strongly advise people to look at her application and respond favorably, because I think it's a great application. It would be a disservice for opportunists that use the word dog green and never do anything that's altruistic or philanthropic or doing things that's really clearly in the application that I've seen with Annalisa's team. And she's smart by finding people who are the right people who have the technology knowledge to do what they're doing in terms of New Start. And I think she brings a really nice package to this issue. So I strongly support people to read the comments, including the comments from her share and others. Okay? Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Glenn. Next, I see Olivier.
Thanks very much, Darlene. It's Olivier for the transcript. I was just going to add one small thing, which is that one forthcoming battle, I guess, is the one around the use of generic words for private GTLDs. In other words, there are several applications that are there being filed by an organization that will not open that new GTLD to the outside world. So they will use it primarily only for their own services as a little private GTLD. I see Evan was going to raise the topic. DotBook, for example, is one of them. It could go either way. There are points of view in each direction. Some people say, well, people should be able to do whatever they want with the new GTLD that they're applying for. Others are saying that it really is a de facto way of providing those organizations with a trademark, with a new uncategorized trademark over a word. So if XYZ company applied for .book and got .book, then books would be equated to XYZ in the future. But anyway, I'll let Evan continue and describe the things in a better way than I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Go ahead, Evan.
I don't know if I could do it better, but I hope I can just add to some of what Olivier has mentioned. This has the potential of being a very significant issue. In the Adobe chat, I've posted a link to the area in the at-large community input area where we received a complaint about .book from Internet New Zealand, which is an ALS and also a registry. I believe they're also involved in the CCTLD for New Zealand. And they complained about two issues, one of which is the idea that, well, they suggested that generic words like .book should actually come under a different level of scrutiny than a coined name such as .exon, which is probably a valid point to make, but probably about 3 years too late. This is an issue that might have been very well taken had it been done in the early times when the regulations and the applicant guidebook came out. But now that barn door is open, and ICANN has received money from people making applications based on the guidelines that they came out with. Backtracking on that probably would feed basically nobody but the legal community, which would do very well from this. So I'm not quite sure about the propriety of talking about right now about, you know, that a generic word should be treated differently as a TLD as opposed to a coined trade name. It's a valid point, but way too late. A second point has to do with the purpose of the TLD. One particular applicant of many for .book is Amazon, and Amazon, in their application for .book, as well as for a number of other TLDs, has indicated that they have no intention of selling second-level domains, that they intend to own, that is, Amazon would maintain ownership of all second and third and so on level domains. This has gotten a number of people up in arms. I was reading a couple of domainer blogs where they are absolutely up in arms about the inability, if Amazon wins, to be able to trade in second-level domains under .book. And this has got some people very, very upset. And to the point where they're saying it's an issue of public interest that we should be fighting Amazon on this. Couple of things. First of all, Amazon is still working in a contention set where they have to work with other bidders on the same strings. Amazon is a bidder on a number of different strings, including .app, .book, and a number of others. But even should they win, there are concerns raised about Amazon taking the TLDs that they would own and then essentially locking them away, that is, not making them available for purchase through the regular registrant system. I have responded to that on the web page that I gave the link to, and my point is that I think people are looking at this far too narrowly. Amazon has not said what they're going to do with it. They just said that they would retain ownership. That does not mean that they would not let other people and companies use second-level domains, just that Amazon would retain ownership. This is an innovative way of dealing with a top-level domain, and I don't think it's against the public interest to merely have an experiment that would work like that. Right now, all the TLDs are working on the conventional, you buy through a registrar and it goes through the registry and so on, and they buy and sell and trade. And there's a couple like .museum that are a little bit more restrictive than that, and .cat that's a little more restrictive than that. And then you have CCLDs that restrict based on, in some cases, on national ownership, and residency. But at the same time, there are complaints in some circles about the threat by Amazon in the domains that it owns to not resell second-level domains. And I'm just retorting back that, number one, ICANN has no business peering into how the TLD owners, what they do with their domains, assuming they get them fair and square. And secondly, I think it's being horribly restrictive to think that just simply because Amazon wants to own all the domain names, it doesn't mean that they're going to withhold use of it from the public. the thought of an entire TLD having a single Whois entry for Amazon, which would be responsible for everything happening under that TLD, offers some very interesting concepts of a TLD that could be potentially without squatters, without trademark infringers, with a certainly enhanced level of public trust. Anyway, I'm probably talking too much on this, but the issue does have the potential to flare up. It's important that the region be aware of it. As far as at large is concerned, it actually constitutes the only real objections that at large has received on the TDLD process. And at large was one of the designated bodies to be able to receive complaints, and this is the only one that it received before the deadline. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. That's really interesting. Glenn and Evan, you still have your hand up. Did you have further to add, Glenn?
I'm unmuted.
Glenn, are you muted?
No. Yes, I was muted. I do not have a question. I'll put my hand up.
No problem. Did anybody else have anything further to this topic?
Annalisa and Jolie are both typing. Did either of you have any comments on that?
Well, thank you, Evan. Yeah, Jolie had an interesting question. He asked in the chat if somebody whose name is Green, Mr. Green or Mrs. Green, if they could buy a .green name. And my answer, what I was trying to explain is, as long as they acknowledge the meaning of green as the social benefit, health, and towards sustainability, and they acknowledge the meaning of dot green, then yes, absolutely. And many words have more than one meaning. And so for them, the meaning is their name. But chances are they're probably interested in a healthy lifestyle and a healthy planet and maybe even green economy and green business. So I actually expect a lot of Mr. and Mrs. Greens out there to jump at the chance to buy a dot green name. Oh, a polluter called Green, he's asking now. Well, you know, a lot of polluters also have sustainability efforts. So what I would suggest is they don't put their polluting side on the dot green name. If they did, that would cause a problem because what dot green represents is all things green towards sustainability, and that's what the Internet user is going to be looking for. And the Internet user knows how to use the Internet, and they know how to find other sites that the polluter may also be running. And the interested Internet user who's interested in green will do their searching just like they're doing today. But the .green sites is supposed to be your best foot forward towards sustainability. What are the actions you're moving forward? The truth of the matter is no human being and no company is actually green. We are all in the process of our journey towards living and doing business in a greener way. We're all learning and trying to get greener and trying to find that balance of sustainability. That's what the dot green is representing. So I hope that answers. There's a lot of companies, I mean, a lot of us as individuals, you know, we think we're green, but we drive a car. So, you know, we're all looking towards being more green. It doesn't mean that should prevent us from having a dot green address right now because we are doing quite a bit. So I hope that kind of explains. But I love the interest in the questions.
Evan had a question there, which I believe that you already covered, is that is a green commitment voluntarily stated or will it be verified and enforced?
It'll be voluntarily stated by the registrant, and as far as the enforced, that's the green movement. That's the beauty of the green movement, and the Internet is the most important tool that the green movement needs and already uses to verify and enforce. And the way we do that with the Internet is people use YouTube. If you've got a big polluter out there, someone's going to grab their cell phone and they're going to be filming the big polluter polluting, and guess where they're going to post that? They're going to post that on the Internet. And then you're going to get the bloggers, and then you're going to get the news people. And the enforcement is going to come through market share. Nobody's going to want to support somebody who is saying one thing on one hand, and then on the other hand, all the evidence suggests to the contrary. So I think I think the dot green is actually going to forward what is already happening in the world. Corporations are already, they've already joined the green movement, and they're making tremendous strides in green. They're also big industry, and there's tremendous room for improvement. But rather than penalize them and cut them out of the process, which means we'll never go green as a planet, we've got to embrace what they are doing, what those efforts are, and we have to buy those products that do, that are done right, that do make a difference. And products that are bad, if those are not getting sold, I promise you these companies will stop making them, they'll stop acting that way. They will definitely focus their business and their money-making ventures on things that the green internet community wants. And Dot Green is going to show that to people as more and more people are clicking on Dot Green names. Companies are going to realize, let's put more products there. We're getting more traffic. So it's going to be a big ongoing thing. You know, it's a big green area, I'm going to say. But, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Annalisa. If anybody else has any other comments, maybe you could put your hand up. If not, we'll move on.
Well, I really want to thank everybody for the interest and for this time. And please, definitely, you know, don't be scared to look at the applications and not just green, any others that you might be interested in. And the funnest part is going to the comment page and reading other comments that other people have already put in. That's really neat. I think that's going to show the trend of where some of these TLDs are going to be going. Thank you.
That's a great point. Thanks, Annalisa. Mm-hmm. All right, then, moving on to number 7, election update. First of all, we'll look at the ones that are non-contested. First of all, we have our appointment for the regional at-large delegates to the NOMCOM. Glenn McKnight ran for this uncontested. So about a week ago, I forwarded this to the ALAC, so we're actually ahead of the other regions in this. Three of the other regions have chosen a candidate, but they haven't sent them in yet, and one region needs to go through a vote, which is Lac Rallo. But these have to all be done by August 15th, which is Wednesday. And then what happens is then August 15th to the 20th, the ALAC reviews the RALO recommendations and any additional list of nominations accepted. Then the ALAC selects and endorses the vote between August 20th to 24th. And August 25th, we should find out who the five people are who are actually placed on there. So, again, it is an ALAC vote that this has to go through. It is the ALAC who selects these people. We just put forward our recommendations, and that has been done. So we are just now in a holding pattern waiting for that decision. Olivier or anybody else, did you have anything to add to that?
No, thank you, okay. Darling. I was just going to say bravo.
Okay. Thank you. Didn't mean to cut you off there. next one is Secretariat. That was done by acclamation, Darlene Thompson. Now, if you'll notice on the agenda, there is the Naralo election page. That in there you will find all of the SOIs of the ALAC and chair position, which we do have coming up for election this week. When we say SOIs in this instance, we are talking about strictly statements of interest. I am interested in this job, and here's how I think I am qualified. There are no COI requirements of this in this, as in conflict of interest requirements. So it's just, I want the job, and here's why I think I'd be good at it. So if you want to review, I would suggest that you review those SOIs, and it also gives a timeline and where we're at on it. The election will open later today. Staff is working on it right now. It will be open until the end of the day Friday. So that gives everybody lots of time to review the questions and answers from candidates, which is the second link in number 7, where you can go through. And if you looked at it last week and think you're done, you're not. There's been a lot of answers added over the weekend and even today. So I'd really recommend that you have another look at that page before making your final election vote. So for chair, we have Evan Leibovich and Eric Bruner-Williams running. Not for chair, I'm sorry, for ALAC, we've got Evan Leibovich and Eric Bruner-Williams running. And for chair, we have Garth Bruin and Seth Reese running. So we've got a good selection there. As well, on the vote, you'll be able to vote for the people that are running or vote also, you can abstain as well, since that was also suggested around the region. I'll be kind of interested to see if anybody does vote that way, but we put it there just in case. I think that's about it. I see Glenn McKnight, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, I do. Thank you. I think the idea of posting some questions in the wiki is a great idea. I've been reading some of the comments. They're quite interesting. And I encourage some of the candidates who haven't at this point to wade in. It's great to get the opinions and vision of the candidates and nominees. So I look forward to reading their comments.
Well, yeah, and it really helps because, I mean, for those of you that don't go to the ICANN meetings and may not know these people personally, I mean, you don't have a lot to go on. So, I mean, that's your best bet to find out what everybody is all about and to get their standings on this. Now, of course, you probably have, formed opinions over the years because of the online comments, but this really gives the candidates an opportunity to say, hey, here's what I stand for and why. So it is an excellent venue. You're right, Glenn. Glenn, did you have further?
No, thank you. I'm going to put my hand down.
No problem. Does anybody else have any further comments or questions on this? All right, then, moving on to the update on the Naravo survey. Glenn, you're on again.
Wow. Hi, everybody. Glenn McKnight for the record. Well, I've been working on the survey to create a slideshow, and I'm mostly finished it. I will be posting it on the Narello Wiki, but I need to find from you guys what's the suitable time for me to do a short presentation. It's a PowerPoint presentation on the findings in a summary, observations, good and bad points. So you guys have to tell me a time during the ICANN Toronto whenever we're meeting so I can actually slot it into my time slot.
Darlene Thompson here. One thing that I would suggest is maybe during one of the secretariat's meeting, it might be very applicable. What do you think?
Are you asking me, Darlene,
yeah,
or the group?
Basically.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it any session where there's a receptive audience. So you tell me the time, and I'll be there.
Well, the secretariat meeting, that is kind of a bad name for it because it's actually secretariats and regional leads, and usually most of the RALO is there, and the North American RALO should all be there as well. So I think that would be a really excellent place. So you just need to let us know approximately how much time that you would need, and then staff can slot it in appropriately.
I would say 15 minutes maximum.
And I see Olivier agreeing with that. So unless somebody else has another comment...
Thank you.
All righty. I think 9 and 10 are actually, items 9 and 10 on the, are actually, on our telephone conference, are actually repeats from last time that I should have taken down. Glenn, do you have anything further to say about the NOMCOM meeting in Prague?
Yeah, the slate went forward for the board of directors, as well as ALAC and GNSO and CNSO. That was good. That's the good side. We do have some issues that we're working through. That was an issue. I really can't talk about it because it's gone through various different levels of ICANN. So we are still, even though we left Prague, we've been working still quite a bit since Prague. So, but we're working through the logistics of the issue. But at this stage, again, I know it's probably public knowledge in some circles, but I'd rather not say too much about it at this stage.
That's great, Glenn. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Garth, I see your hands up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do want to comment on the item, even though it is a repeat, because there have been some updates, and Evan did mention the issue earlier in the call, so I wanted to follow up on what he said. We have some major, major problems with compliance, and we've been extremely patient on them, but it's not really going anywhere. Basically, about a year ago, more than a year ago now, we developed a number of case studies that went through the compliance process, and what we found in the end result is failure of the process, failure of some of the technology, a failure of the contract, and apparent failure of some staff members to follow up. And unfortunately, the head of compliance has been too busy to talk to me on the phone for 4 months.
Okay.
And this is where we are at this point. And some other strange things have happened in the meantime. There was a threat, which apparently has not been carried out, to suspend the bulk compliance reporting system. And specifically, the suspension of the process would be while the new GTLDs are being deployed. And like I said, there has been no follow-up or communication on our case studies. And I'm going to put the link to the case studies in the chat so people can read them at their leisure if they want to. And compliance just has not answered the questions either in writing or in multiple meetings that we've had at ICANN meetings or on the phone as to what's going on with these cases. And I'll just let it stand at that. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Garth. Did any, I assume that's for item number 10. Did anybody else have any further questions or comments on that? All right. So that's moving on to number 11. Any other business? Anything else that anybody would like to talk about, bring up? Garth, your hand is up, or is that an old one? Garth, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's. I put it down. Thanks.
Okay, no problem. Does anybody else have any other business?
Yes, it's Glenn. Sorry, you may have broached this, Heidi. Did you talk about the banner? Did you? I had to take another call for about 5 minutes earlier in the meeting. I just want an update. Did we agree on the budget for a banner, and has a banner been ordered for our event?
Thanks, Glenn. This is Heidi. I did write into the chat that the staff are looking at doing some comparison shopping at quality and cost right now.
Okay.
And one, I do need to write to the group asking the text that they would like on that banner. So thanks for the reminder. I'll do that today.
Okay. Thank you. Put my hand down.
Thank you. Are there any other comments, any other business, anything else? All right, then. At 5 minutes before the hour, we'll be adjourning this meeting, and this will be my last meeting chairing because we will have a vote, and we'll have a new chair. Yay! So have a great day, everybody. That's
great.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Gracias. Thanks, everybody, and well done, Darlene.